God has really blessed me. You know, he let me work in D.C., let me work with EIB in Hollywood, in Silicon Valley. And he's shown me through all those experiences that there is one problem and one solution, and that's why we do this show.
Welcome to A Disciple's View with Todd Herman.
When the God of the universe created the worlds, he didn't snap his fingers or wink his eye. The Lord spoke. He said, "Let there be light." Because we believe, we speak about the happenings in this world, mindful that our true home is with Jesus Christ and his kingdom. I'm Todd Herman. Welcome to A Disciple's View. Today, we'll get into the world and not of it. We'll do that in the second segment. There is an incredibly subtle thing that a false teacher said when introducing a speaker at a leftist church that follows the so-called gay gospel. And it is so subtle and it is so important that you hear this phrase. So we'll get to that. Also, of course, the second segment, our last segment, we'll get to the Tower of Babel and a personal. But we're going to start with politics. There's that phrase, this shouldn't be political. Well, Jesus came to divide, not unite. And it's not because he himself is divisive. He is truth, and truth is divisive. Politics is a tool of division, no doubt. It's tribalism by another name. And there are things that shouldn't be political. For instance, I don't think it should be a political discussion in terms of gain-of-function research. Okay, what is gain-of-function? Gain-of-function is where scientists make viruses more dangerous. Or they make infections. They make bacterial infections more dangerous. Usually viruses, easier to spread. Why do we want that? For weapons, full stop. And here's what they'll tell you. And these are people who believe in the laughable random mutation theory of the development of life, which, of course, cannot explain the origin of life, nor does it explain the development of life. I mean, there are adaptations, but we did not. Nothing in our world is from random mutation. So they believe in that. And one of the defenses of that is that billions and billions and billions of years of billions and billions and billions of trials and, oh, something accidentally mixed, and then all of a sudden there was life, and then all of a sudden some other things mixed, and then life was self-aware. And then after that, something else magically happens, and then we had human beings with hiring functions, and it's unbelievably laughable. So those same people who believe in that random mutation over billions of years think and want us to believe that when they do gain-of-function research, they're just looking at all the ways that random mutation could work to make viruses more deadly. And therefore, they intend to get ahead of it with beautiful, beautiful, magical interventions like the mRNA shots. So, question number one, do you believe they can mimic random mutation in their billions and billions and billions and billions of years? No, is my answer. Do you think, then, that their job is to get ahead of danger or to cause it? I think it's to cause it. Megyn Kelly sat down to talk with Tulsi Gabbard about this. And Tulsi Gabbard, Director of National Intelligence. Now, why is Tulsi talking about gain-of-function research? Because she's the Director of National Intelligence. And because China has promised to be the world's preeminent purveyor of biological and chemical warfare. And because it's out of China that the Wuhan lab worked with he's not a doctor, he's lost that title in my mind, Fauci, to create the Wuhan flu, which was used to lock down the world. So Tulsi told Megyn Kelly, Tulsi Gabbard did, she's working with Dr. Jay Bhattacharya, looking into the gain-of-function research funding in Wuhan.
But the thing that we are working with Jay Bhattacharya, the new NIH director on, with, as well as Secretary Kennedy, is looking at the gain-of-function research that in the case of the Wuhan lab, as well as many of these other biolabs around the world, was actually U.S.-funded. And leads to this dangerous kind of research that in many examples has resulted in either a pandemic or some other major health crisis.
Well, let me ask you specifically, because we already know that EcoHealth Alliance was partnering with this Wuhan lab to create
to do gain of function research.
That's right.
We just have never been able to have somebody say, and it was that exact experiment that led to this COVID bug. But have we gotten there? What's the new thing that you're digging in on?
We are working on that with Jay Bhattacharya and look forward to being able to share that, hopefully very soon.
Okay.
That specific
link.
Correct. Between the gain of function research and what we saw with COVID.
She's being careful. I think it's proven she doesn't yet. Fair enough. Now, it's not just Wuhan. Don't think this is me just talking about COVID. It's not just Wuhan. This has to do with a war we're being told we must continue to fund forever. Another forever war. We'll get to that in just a second. But Tulsi Gabbard did say something that I think is very, very newsworthy. And this is why she thinks Fauci, who in my mind is a megalomaniacal, sociopathic murderer. No, I didn't say negligence. I think Fauci knew exactly what he was doing. I think Fauci knew these shots would kill people. I don't think he cares. I think that's a feature, not a bug. I know, because I've read his writing, that Fauci is one of those people who believes there are too many humans. I've read his writing. I know the circles in which he runs, and they admit it. He's in circles of people who say that we need to eliminate 7 billion human beings. Now, would you be friends with someone like that? So Tulsi Gabbard explains why she thinks Fauci might have wanted a preemptive pardon and got it from the people who surround the figurehead, because for all we know, that came out of an auto pen.
I mean, that would be extraordinary, because just so the audience knows, if that's true, if it was Peter Daszak's research with the Wuhan so-called bat lady that caused this pandemic, then we did fund it. Then Anthony Fauci helped fund the pandemic.
The thing that he denied over and over and over to Senator Rand Paul's questioning.
That's right. Under oath.
Under oath, exactly. So is it any wonder that he sought a preemptive pardon for anything during a certain period of time by President Biden before he left office?
And then strong-armed and smeared people like Dr. Jay Bhattacharya, anybody who came out and said, I don't know if that's natural. This actually smacks of lab.
That's a great reason why. Here's what we do know is that Fauci was told by Barack Obama, who was president at the time, you will not provide funding to the Wuhan lab in China. And so Fauci, who in my mind is a megalomaniacal murdering sociopath, said, well, okay, we won't give it directly to them. We'll give it to non-governmental organizations and have them take a rake and then work with them. Now, follow the money from the Pentagon to Fauci to groups like the EcoHealth Alliance and universities back to the Wuhan lab and then back into the pockets of Fauci and his colleagues at the CDC in the form of commissions for the so-called vaccines. Massive financial crime, money laundering. Massive human rights crime, because those shots killed more people than the Wuhan flu ever did. So here's where it gets now, I think, maybe more interesting. Tulsi Gabbard talked with Megyn Kelly about where there are some other gain of function type activities going on at biolabs in the most important country in the world.
And the reason why this is so important is not just what happened in the past. It's because this gain-of-function research is happening in biolabs around the world. I got attacked, and I think you saw this. We've probably talked about it on your show before, when I warned against U.S.-funded biolabs in Ukraine when the Russia-Ukraine war kicked off for this very reason. Who knows what kinds of pathogens are in these labs and if released could create another COVID-like pandemic. And for that, I was called a Russian asset. You're, you know, trumpeting Putin's talking points. All of this nonsense, simply for speaking the truth and stating facts that, by the way, are still on U.S. Embassy Ukraine's website today about how the U.S. has funded these biolabs in Ukraine. But in order to, my point is, in order to prevent another COVID-like pandemic or another major health incident that could affect us in the world, we have to end this gain-of-function research and provide the evidence that shows exactly why and how it's in our best interest, the American people's best interest, to bring about an end to it.
How refreshing is it to have a director of national intelligence admitting the fact that our intelligence services are not our friends? Because all of this was known by the intelligence services. Deborah Birx's so-called doctor was a sheep-dipped Department of Defense employee. Sheep-dipping means she goes to work at another government agency, but her actual tasks are being carried out by her former employer. In her case, the Pentagon, the Department of Defense, on loan to the CDC. It was an intelligence op. So Megyn Kelly asked Tulsi Gabbard back to the COVID topic, although it's not a COVID topic. It's a tyranny topic. It's a deep state topic. It's an intelligence system topic. It's a cultural topic. It's a spiritual topic. Lying about how our bodies are designed. Megyn Kelly asked Tulsi Gabbard why there were so many contradictory reports from the intelligence community during the lockdown period.
Can I just ask you one other question on that? Why did the intelligence community, why were they so reluctant to just say that? You know, under Joe Biden, they were split. The FBI eventually said, well, yeah, we kind of think it was the lab.
Certainly a good
and Department
question.
Of Energy said lab. But then the other agencies were like, no, we think more natural origin, long past the point when it did not look like natural origin. They tested 80 or 90,000 animals. They never found this version of the virus. So what was going on with the intel community there?
You know, it's a good question, and I don't have a specific answer to it, but I want to point to the contrast of how in some cases, they are very unwilling to come to express a view or a certain opinion on something. And in other cases, even if they don't have decisive or conclusive evidence per se, they're very quickly to come to an assumption. And this gets to the real heart of the challenge here, and the problems that we've seen is the politicization of intelligence to meet a certain objective or to influence a certain policy. And that is what has been the problem. This goes all the way back to why this organization was founded. When you look at the so-called intelligence that really was used to spur the Iraq regime change war.
So the policies of the lockdowns that the intelligence community refused to admit were being driven by a gain-of-function experiment in Wuhan propagated by Fauci. They wanted the following op. The government has the right to lock you in your house whenever they want. That was the outcome. The government has the right to force you to get injected with any substance it decides you need to have in your body. They wanted to establish that statement of dominance. And when Tulsi makes that statement there that the intelligence services refuse to come out and conclusively say that this came out of the Wuhan lab, and yet they conclusively came out and said the Hunter Biden laptop story is Russian propaganda, and they had no proof of that because it doesn't exist. And secondly, they knew, just as they came out and said that President Trump was a Russian asset. And they knew that was a lie. They knew that came from the disgraced former law firm Perkins Coie and Mark Elias, who's now a disgraced lawyer on his own. They knew that. And yet they conclusively came out and stated that. What was the policy? We can't have Trump as president. Why? Because he's an outsider. Because he's going to come and question things like always on wars. He might come out and question things like lockdowns. Now, he didn't. He started to. But the biggest mistake President Trump ever made in his first term was letting Fauci run the country for a little while. And they intend to repeat that. Mark my words. We'll come back. Be in the world, not of it. I'm Todd Herman. This is The Disciples' View. Welcome back to Disciples View. We'll get to Tower Babbling next and a personal note. There is no possible way I can stop talking about a thing that I desperately never want to speak of again. And that is the transing of kids and, frankly, the transing of society. The end game of all of this is transhumanism. Now, a lot of people aren't going to go there, and they're going to hear that and think, oh, that's flat insane. Except I can tell you, I can send you article after article of the same people who've been pushing the transing of kids, connecting it to ultimately transhumanism. In fact, the brother of J.B. Pritzker, who is a man who pretends to be a woman at the Human Rights Campaign. This is the group that went behind the scenes to work for years on a brilliant, scheming, utterly evil, satanic plan to work with state legislators behind the scenes and their human rights groups to install the transing of kids. He considers himself transhuman already. So that's the end game. So why can't I stop talking about it now? Because the evil that is being done is so pronounced and so rather profound, and I don't think most people have a good handle on it. Some of it is just cringy. Okay, and we're going to work our way up to the true, true evil. You will not believe some of the things I'm about to share with you. Okay, and I will warn you, is there anything in here that's... No, there's nothing in here that's sexual. There is something in here that if you have vulnerable teens and they're listening to this, then be cautious. And if you're a teenager listening to this, I have a special warning to you in a second in this segment. So this is a UMC church in Colorado. Protestia found this. And listen to this introduction this woman gives to this other person, and I don't know if it's a man or a woman, because obviously this woman is pretending that the speaker is non-binary. So this is a woman dressed as a man, and I think trying to be a man, but listen to this introduction. And again, this is at a church, at UMC's Christ Church in Colorado. And incidentally, behind her, there is no cross.
I am so excited about our guest preacher. Lex is amazing. I knew if I didn't say that part first, I was going to lose my place. Today's guest preacher is Lex Dunbar, a passionate educator, avid protester, dynamic workshop facilitator, and compassionate neighbor. As a Black, non-binary, trans-mask person and first-generation academic, Lex incorporates personal narrative with theoretical research engaging multi-methodological praxis such as womanism, Black liberation theology, transhumanist deism, eroticism, womanism, Black liberation, Afro-pessimism, and Afro-futurism. Lex recently completed their second master's degree from Iliff School of Theology, is a current joint PhD student with the University of Denver and Iliff. Recently, they were certified as an end-of-life doula through the Iliff Death Care Collective. Lex is also an undergraduate adjunct professor, has worked in various nonprofits, after-school programs, and universities, and has experience in program development, speaking, and writing.
Did you hear all that? What a human being. Oh, did you hear the part about the transhumanist deism? You heard that, right? In a church that pretends to be a Church of Christ. Transhumanist deism. What does that mean? Well, it's a garble of word salads. That person's entire bio is a garble of word salads. But that phrase, transhuman deism, means we are our own gods. We take control of our own bodies, of our own sex, and over our own species. And I've warned about this before, and people find it impossible to believe, and I'm here to tell you, there are people who believe they can change species. And they were born in the wrong body, meaning they were born with the wrong species. Now, as all this is happening, God is, of course, God is moving. There is a spiritual background to this. It is obviously, obviously satanic. It's transhumanist deism. That's obviously satanic. And God's working in our world because there are changes and God is separating his people. I firmly believe that God is calling his people out of the Babylons and to go and seek refuge in places where they don't do such things to kids, and to certainly call out churches like that. And it is our job, and Protesti does a great job at this, Woke Preacher Clips does a great job at this, making sure that we understand that's not a church. And if it is, it's a temple, but it's clearly a satanic temple. It's clearly anti-Christ in the imitation of Christ. But there's good news. The Ohio Supreme Court has allowed the state to enforce a ban on mutilating gender transitions for children. This from LifeSite News. The Ohio Supreme Court has allowed the state to resume enforcing a law banning so-called gender transition procedures on minors while the legal battle over its constitutionality continues. HB 68, the Saving Adolescents from Experimentation Act, forbids courts from considering a parent's refusal to affirm a child's gender confusion as weighing against their parental rights, prohibits physicians from surgically or chemically so-called transitioning minors, requires mental health professionals to check for other mental health disorders before diagnosing a minor with a condition related to gender confusion, and bans schools and interscholastic athletic organizations from allowing gender-confused males to compete in athletic teams intended for females. So moderate so-called Republican Governor Mike DeWine vetoed the bill in 2024 and signed a weaker version of this. Mike DeWine is owned by pharma. I don't feel any weird compunction about saying that or feel like I am treading near false witness. Simply consult COVID. So there is good news that there is a Supreme Court recognizing at least this can continue. We pray that this bill becomes law in the state of Ohio and that they're able to continue to call out this pure evil. Now, again, I don't want to talk about this stuff. But we must talk about this stuff, and we're getting to the true evil. So we're getting to a point where if you're listening with vulnerable teens, either lean into this with them and truly lean in or don't listen. But if you're going to listen with your teens or adolescent kids, lean into this. Talk more about it. Talk about it biblically. For instance, what is God's plan for human sexuality? Okay, God's plan is one man and one woman in marriage. That's throughout the Bible. It is unchanging and unchangeable. Why? Well, A, because God loves us and knows what's best for us. B, because he made us in his image. And so when we are using our bodies, we're using a body God gave us in his image. To abuse it is to abuse the image of God. C, because God sent his only son to save us from ourselves. And when we accept him as Lord and Savior and choose to be changed by him, we become part of the body of Christ so that when we're abusing our bodies, we are abusing the body of Christ. And there's a lot of other reasons, such as God knows it's not good for us to go out and have multiple sexual partners. That's built into our biology. It's built into our psychology. So this is a professor at Northeastern University, and this clip has been around for a while, but I don't know that most people have heard it. And he is singing a song about how same-sex attracted women don't accept him in the bathroom. So he's singing a song to lesbian women, and it's not just that they don't accept him in the bathroom. It's that they don't accept him in the bedroom. He's demanding that they decide to have sex with him, even though they are same-sex attracted. They're lesbian women, and these are his demands in this song.
If you're cis and you won't date trans folks, you're transphobe.
So let me translate that. If you are a woman and you will not date a fake woman. In other words, you will not date a woman. So if you are a opposite sex attracted woman, a straight woman, it's called, and you will not date other women, you're transphobe. And if you are a lesbian woman, a same-sex attracted woman, and you will not date men, you're a transphobe.
Now, if that made you mad, maybe it's your prejudices that you need to probe. No matter the reasons you've got, you're reducing us to when we disrobe. And that kind of thinking ain't sophisticated, it's more like microbes. I know you think you've got good reasons, maybe you do. Trauma's real, it's hard to heal, I'd never say that that isn't true. But transphobia's transphobia, and you won't get a pass when we're through. We're human beings, not sex organs, cis lesbians, I'm talking to you.
So, this is a man who is insisting that same-sex attracted women have sex with him, or there's a threat. Did you hear the threat? You won't get a pass when we're done with you. The world of gender confusion is inhabited by a lot of people who have been taught to believe that if we don't affirm them, we are literally killing them. I don't mean literally in any other sense. No, I don't mean figuratively. I mean they believe you're literally killing them. That's why they invented the phrase dead name. If you will not recognize their pretend new gender and their name, you are dead naming them. You have killed them. So now we get to the truly unbelievable to some people. Not to me, because I lived in the separate country of Washington State. I've been tracking this stuff for a decade. I've told you about glitter homes. And a glitter home is a place where activists will reparent your kid. In the separate country of Washington State, they can kidnap your kid and never tell you and reparent them. And the separate country of Washington State won't go after them. They will not allow the cops to tell you where your kid is, even if that kid is from out of state. It's a pro-kidnapping state when kids utter the phrase abortion or gender confusion. The moment that happens, they can disappear into Planned Parenthood, into school counselors, so-called, into nonprofits, and there are glitter homes set up by activists to take these kids in and immediately begin them down the road of being chemically and surgically mutilated. There are parties organized, and people think it's just to go celebrate the rainbow people. But there are nonprofits in Seattle that organize dances for same-sex attracted kids and for kids who are confused about their gender. And they always have there. They always have lawyers there to help kids get emancipated from their parents. If you're a teen and you're hearing this and this sounds good to you, please let me share this with you. None of these people care about you. If you were to go and they were to start rehoming you, it's for one purpose. A, it's going to get money. They're going to get paid. B, it's to sexualize you. They intend to victimize you, either chemically or surgically or mentally, and I will tell you, absolutely spiritually. This is a Colorado state legislator who admits she has a bed in her home and invites children to run away from home and stay with her where she will affirm them. Aaron Brewer, friend of mine, surfaced this.
And in my home, I have a crash couch. And this is something that my now teenage children know I have. And this is where any young person can come and feel safe, regardless of the struggles that they have. And I've had numerous young people that are coming out as trans or gay who felt unsafe in their home or didn't know how to have that original conversation. Come and stay with me because it's safe. Because they know that someone's going to affirm them.
Someone being her. This is a state legislator, a lawyer. It is not Child Protective Services. And that came from a hearing in Colorado's HB 251312, legal protection for so-called transgender individuals, also known as the Kelly Loving Act, require that judges consider how, a quote, affirming a parent is when determining custody and visitation rights in child custody decisions. So if you're the parent who will not pretend that your daughter is a boy, you're the parent who will have no parental rights at all. That's the determination. And again, if you're listening with vulnerable teens, please lean into this conversation and please examine it more and please get the Bible out and go, human beings were made male and female in God's image. He intends sexual relationships between one man, one woman. He intends parents to be the ones who steward their kids. Parents are to bring their kids up, to teach them the word of God, to write it on their own parents' foreheads, to talk about it with them. And you can see this, at no time are you going to find any of these glitter homes loving you, so-called. If you say, hey, you know what, I thought about it, and I actually don't want the hormones and the surgeries. I guarantee you, the moment you say that, the so-called love is gone. We'll come back on A Disciple's View. Appreciate you listening to Disciples View. We'll get to personal notes and the Tower Babbling. There is a lot today in the cleanup items. People who live in what they think are red states would be wise to understand that there is no such thing. That Democrats have a plan for every single state, including the state of Texas. And in the state of Texas, it looks like what they're going to do is buy off conservatives. Not conservatives, but Republicans. I don't have any other explanation for some of the activities that have been going on in the state legislature of Texas, which are embracing far-left ideas. Now, we could talk about that later in some of the detailed bills, and that's just one state. But here's an example of how easy these people must be to buy off. The Texas House Speaker, his name is Dustin Burroughs, has a bill that Democrats love. So what is it? It's apparently banning political memes and giving people up to a year in jail for failing to attach a disclosure to a cartoon. And this is because he doesn't want people sharing cartoons making fun of politicians. It's all pretending, of course, it's deep fake stuff and memes or deep fakes, and he wants to give human beings, citizens of Texas, a year in jail, effectively for embarrassing people like the House Speaker, Dustin Burroughs, who has no right to call himself a conservative or a constitutionalist. Frankly, he's bordering on not being able to call himself an American. So this is him, House Speaker Dustin Burroughs, forced to explain this bill that Democrats love.
Of course, it would go to the district attorney's office, and a Class A misdemeanor is...
Excuse me.
It's up to a year in jail. Yes, ma'am.
Up to a year in jail.
Correct.
Do you think that that's a fair punishment for someone creating an image or a meme?
Well, it's a very serious offense.
Up to a year in jail, sir.
Well, we could do a civil fine, correct? And as of right now, going into session, there's 750 cases totaling $3.6 million in uncollected fines. So fining someone $500 in a campaign that could be $5 million, $10 million, correct? A $500 fine is a cost of doing business in an election. But if someone were to commit an offense of this nature, it would certainly get their attention.
So
and hopefully prevent them from doing it.
A speech offense. A speech offense. And he was questioned further on this bill, the corrupt House Speaker in Texas, Dustin Burroughs.
This is a deterrent in using fake or altered media to drastically change the outcome of an election. And I think that's a serious offense, and it should be taken serious. I'm not taking this lightly at all.
So you don't think there's been political satire along? I mean, it's been a tradition in America for a long time.
Absolutely.
And if someone's
and it will
not,
continue. It will continue.
Yeah, except you can go to prison for it. Dustin Burroughs wants you to believe this bill will not be abused by politicians.
This is the same universe that is being regulated currently that will be regulated under 366. All you have to do is disclose that you are lying to the public with your media. That video has been altered. It did not occur in reality. And that's all you have to do is disclose it, just like you disclose political ad paid for by.
So the first night that I was in jail, everyone looking at me, they said, "Why are you here?" And I said, "I was working." And can you imagine someone going to jail for a year and they say, "What are you in here for?" And they say, "I drew a cartoon."
He can. Dustin Burroughs should be run out of the Republican Party of Texas tomorrow. Well, yesterday. As frustrating as it can be on this program to do it, we do thank the Lord for placing supposedly wise people like the corrupt Speaker of the House of Texas, Dustin Burroughs, on tall towers of shaking sand with our feature called the Tower of Babel.
You know about the biblical truth of the Tower of Babel. A Disciple's View presents the Tower of Babbling.
It is not a criminal violation to enter the country illegally. It's not a criminal. It's a crime. It's not a crime.
Well, it is, Jasmine Crockett. Oh, by the way, I don't know. Do we have this in this? I don't know if we have this. She recently said to Americans, "How would you like it if a foreign nation just flooded our country with their people?" She actually spoke those words. Three sound bites in today's Tower Babbling. The first from Representative Ilhan Omar. And there's really good reason. Truly, there is a very good reason to believe that she married her brother in order to commit immigration fraud. There is actually decent documentation on that. She was confronted by a reporter with the Daily Caller News Foundation, and she responded by using the F word.
Congresswoman Omar, I'm Miles Morrell with the Daily Caller News Foundation. Do you think more of your Democratic colleagues should be traveling to El Salvador to advocate on behalf of Rodrigo Garcia?
I think you should.
Yeah, that's I'm sorry, what? Congresswoman? Who should?
You.
Why me?
We're not taking any questions right now, but...
That's civil. Nothing will be done, of course. But that's an indicator of the Democrats' positions on things. That's where they're at. Next soundbite, today's Tower Babbling. The new Prime Minister of Canada, and given what we know about Canada and flus... he can be a dictator anytime he chooses to be. He'd like to remind the world of the existential threat of climate change.
Look, we can't stabilize the climate unless we get to net zero. And it's a simple, these are hard numbers. Your emissions right. are either A or B. They're going up or down. And if they're going down, are they going down consistent with the science? We anchor it in the science, the same science the UN and others use for the 1.5-degree objective.
The same science the UN uses, that all same scientists who said, of course, men or women, and stay home, stay safe, and it puts the mask on its skin if it wants to eat again, etc. That form of science. Incidentally, again, this comes now about, no, not quite a week, after Spain and Portugal lost all power for about 2 days because they achieved net zero, and then quickly after that achieved zero energy for the entire country. Last soundbite in today's Tower Babbling, there's been a clamoring. No, I know this because the Hill.com and others like Politico, etc., sources like that were explaining there's a clamoring for Kamala Harris's return, that she needs to make a statement and come and provide some leadership and some direction for the country. Now, have you felt that from your Democrat friends? Have you had them say, you know what, I pine for the leadership style of Kamala Harris? Well, she did give a speech. and she was wearing a Gadsden flag t-shirt. That's the Don't Tread on Me t-shirt. And was wearing a shirt that said America, love it or leave it. Well, no, that was the Gadsden flag shirt. The hat said America, love it or leave it. Well, maybe not, but listen to how she's now posing.
This country is ours. It doesn't belong to whoever is in the White House. It belongs to you. It belongs to us. It belongs to we, the people.
Well, I mean, it belongs to everybody. Because anybody and everybody is an American. Anybody and everybody who walks across our border or flies across it with their former CP Bill 1 app or is trafficked across it by coyotes, by the Chinese military, all of them deserve $10,000 a month or $10,000 for entering, $2,200 a month. All of them deserve to vote. Everyone's an American. So when she says we the people, she means every person everywhere. So really, no Gadsden flag t-shirt. I don't know. I think if she wore one, and I'm not hoping for this, but either her body or the t-shirt would burst into flames. And that's a wrap for today's Tower of Babbling.
That was the Tower of Babbling.
I'm just following my orders here.
On A Disciple's View.
On a personal note today, do you have any emotional connection to scents, fragrances? I think this is one of the most overlooked connections we have with God's universe. And there's some that I have that come about this time of year that if I close my eyes, I can be transported back. This happened to me the other day. I decided to go do my workout outside. On Thursdays, I always do two workouts because Thursdays are pizza day. So I have to go into the pizza place lacking about 3,500 calories. So I work out twice and I limit what I eat. And I make sure that I eat almost all protein, very few carbohydrates or fats. And I did my second workout outside. And I got to tell you, I was really empty in calories. So it was kind of hard on the driveway, and we have a blacktop driveway, and it was a sunny day because they weren't spraying at that point. And the smells of the pine trees in the sun and the warming up of the pine cones that are in the sun, that scent, as I was warming up for the workout, and I shut my eyes, transported me back to my father's property. It had the same topography. In fact, it's not a far drive from where we live. If you go the back way through the mountains, it's not that far to my dad's or his former property. It hasn't been his for 25 years. But when I shut my eyes, I can also hear the pine cones crunching as he and I walk that property together. And I can picture the bent tree. There was a tree on his property shaped like an S. And that was where we cut one of the paths to ride our motorcycles. And I can remember when we went out to make those paths, Dad thought that the curved tree would be a good juncture point to turn. And I can't hear his voice. This is one of the things that I suggest to people: get your loved ones on camera, speaking, telling stories, telling about their lives. I used to have, and it got lost, sadly, a tape of my father's answering machine message. And he did a kind of a jokey answering machine message, and I would pay anything to have that. I also can shut my eyes during times during the summer when I go swim in lakes. And I'm not going to be doing that this summer, but when I do that, and there's a reason for that, but when I do that, I can sense the pollen, and I actually get pretty bad allergies from ragweed as ruinous. That's later in life. But I picture lake times with my dad. And so, you know, my dad's passed on many years ago. And I think about this. I think about the moments that those matter to me. And here's why, is because that's where my dad played. He was not a happy man. He had happy moments when he was with us, when we were racing cars, when we were being close as kids to him and older kids. He had satisfaction and sometimes some happiness, but he was a very sad and very depressed man, but not at the Lake Cabin. And I think that that place released him to be a boy again. And I can hear him laughing. And he would take us for rides. He was a huge man, and he was obese, and that had a huge advantage in the water. He could float. When I weighed almost 400 pounds, I thought I was a good swimmer because I could swim out in the middle of the lake and tread water for an hour. Well, I was floating. I wasn't treading water. I was floating. So my dad would give us these whale rides, he called them. I can remember being on his back, my arms around his neck. He'd take us out to the deep and then dive under and come back up. And I remember him getting up on the ski dock, and he would tease our German Shepherd named Duchess. Duchess loved him, and she was so dutiful to him. And he would jump in the water and go under the dock, and the dog would try to dig through the water and whine and just so concerned that he's drowning. And he decided to do that one day, but he'd been laying on his stomach, and he decided to slither into the water, slither as big as my dad was. Duchess would have none of it. And she grabbed his big swimsuit, and he went into the water, but she kept the swimsuit. So he'd gone under the dock and then realized he's completely naked. And Duchess wagged her tail and refused to give that back. And not that my dad could have put that on underwater. So ultimately, we had to bring him a towel so he could crawl up the beach and then shut her eyes. And he got into the towel. And that's memory comes to me because I can smell the pollen around the lakes. I hope that you will take into account your olfactory senses because God gave them to us for a reason. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Because we believe, we speak. Because He first loved us, we speak His Word. We walk in the path of Jesus Christ to make disciples of all nations. Until God gives us permission to speak again together, may His peace, which transcends all understanding, rest upon you and your family. On behalf of Randy and AFR, I'm Todd Herman. This has been the Disciples View.